Welcome to Purpose Without Limits, the show which strives weekly to empower you to reach your true potential, to help you understand how a simple shift in thinking can make success a reality, both professionally and personally. You'll learn about business etiquette intelligence and why a first impression is so crucial, and the real rules of the game to help you outclass your competition. Your host, Dallas Teague Snyder, is founder of Make Your Best Impression, author of the book Professionally Polished, Business Etiquette Savvy for Today's Competitive Market, and co-author of Executive Etiquette Power. For more, visit MakeYourBestImpression.com. The time to become your best self is today. Here's Dallas Teague Snyder.
Welcome to Purpose Without Limits. I'm your host, Dallas Teague Snyder, America's impression engineer and the author of Professionally Polished, Business Etiquette Savvy for Today's Competitive Market. As you know, we are in the sixth week of our exciting show, and if you missed any of them, again, like I say, shame on you. The great news is that you can go back and listen to our wonderful experts anytime you like, because we are all about helping you find the one true idea or the one new idea that can change your life today. So that's what we're here about at Purpose Without Limits, and today is no different. Let me ask you a question. If you've had something happen in your life, perhaps something that you've caused yourself or maybe someone has done to you, are you staying stuck there? I know that oftentimes there are things that hit us and we don't expect. We're blindsided, but we have a choice. We can either move forward or we can stay where we are. And when we stay where we are, it really manifests many other things that make us unhappy. And so we want to talk about meeting your purpose and finding your passion. And that's what our guest is going to help us do today. Our guest propelled into helping others after overcoming her own personal battle with an eating disorder and substance abuse. Kristen Moeller plunged into the field of personal development in 1989 as a coach, author, speaker, and she has her own radio show and also couples that with a master in counseling. She has a brand new book called Waiting for Jack, where she explores why we wait and why we look inside ourselves for answers. Her weekly radio show focuses on conversing with guests whose lives can be an inspiration and share her message of compassion. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dallas.
Oh, well, I love finding like-minded people out there. I think there are many of us, but the great thing about technology, it allows us to connect where before it was just impossible. Don't you agree?
I completely agree. I know, meeting each other across the country and just developing this friendship. So yes, I agree.
Well, tell our audience a little bit about yourself, maybe how you got started on this path. And I know we don't have much time, but give us a little bit of insight into Kristen.
Okay. Well, you know, you mentioned right off the bat in the introduction. So that's what started me on my journey, is my own battles, my own demons, and struggling for a while when I was younger with an eating disorder and substance abuse. And so when I was 23, 1989, I got into recovery from that. I went to treatment. So, you know, it was a serious enough problem to take me to that level. But what happened was I suddenly saw what might be possible for me in my life and a freedom from the addiction and all of that. So I pretty much instantly found my calling in the field of mental health and decided that I wanted to work in that field. And as you know, this is after years of having no idea what I wanted to do.
Oh yeah, I think we've all been there, yes.
Exactly. And you know, and then of course later on I had stages of that as well. But at that point it was crystal clear because I had found recovery. And so I went back and earned a master's degree in counseling and worked as a therapist for many years.
Wow. Okay. So what was it specifically about that time in recovery that made things crystal clear for you?
Well, honestly, you know, for people that many people can relate to this, it's one of those, I was desperate to change and so miserable and unhappy and at a bottom. And fortunately for me, it really was a bottom. It was an emotional bottom. It was realizing I couldn't keep going with my life the way it was. And it was a willingness to have it be different and just a willingness to do whatever it took. So I threw myself into it. I mean, I needed all the help and intervention and structure, but I was absolutely willing to do what it took and what was suggested. in order for me to be a recovered person.
You know, and you say something that really resonates with me, and that's being willing, because we can have all the help in the world and we can love people, but we can't love them enough. They themselves have to be willing to take the action. And I'm just so thrilled that you fell into that category, because there's so many people that aren't willing.
Right. I know. And that's actually, then I worked in the field for many years, as I said, and I worked as a therapist and I worked in treatment centers, and seeing over and over again the people that didn't have enough willingness to do what it took, you know, that would see the light and see what might be possible for themselves and then slowly kind of sink back into the muck, because it takes something. I mean, we don't wake up every morning just wanting to do what's healthy for us, what's good for us, and take those action steps. And it's sometimes really easy, especially with people with addictions, is to sink back into the muck.
Mm. And you coming from that, you certainly can understand and be that empathetic expert, if you will, not being judgmental, but also doing what's possible.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that you often hear, everyone has a book, right? Everybody wants to be an author, but doing it, again, being willing to put in the time.
Yes.
And be vulnerable to help others, that's a completely different thing. So tell us what the inspiration was for your book, Waiting for Jack.
Okay. Well, so, you know, after years of working as a therapist, as I said, then long story short, I was in various different fields. After the hospital where I worked closed, after working there for many years, I decided to try new things. And so I had a brief career as a real estate agent and as a clothing boutique owner. So I tried all these things. I'm a massage therapist. Don't want to forget that. That was an important piece. Anyway, someone gave me Jack Canfield's book, The Success Principles, and I loved that book. And for the first time ever, I did an exercise in that book about creating a vision for my life. And I had always, I'd had goals. I mean, I'd moved towards things, but I'd never allowed myself to really think big and dream big and create a vision.
Mm.
So I did this exercise completely. And then when he was coming to Denver in 2007 to speak, I jumped at the chance to see him. So I was watching him speak in Denver, and suddenly he starts doing this exercise with the audience, and he held up a $100 bill, and he said, "Who wants this?" And I jumped up out of my chair, ran up on stage, and grabbed it out of his hand.
Wow.
All the while thinking, what if I'm wrong? What if they're going to haul me off in front of 800 people? You know, what if I've just made a complete fool out of myself? But the willingness for the bold action was stronger than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So afterwards, I waited in line to meet him, and I actually boldly again asked for his personal email address, and he gave it to me.
Wow. See, if
yes,
you don't ask, you'll never get anything, right?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it was just about that, you know, ask and see what happens.
Yeah.
So I emailed him over a period of time and always sent him these long emails about my life and the vision I had created and all these things, and he would email me back these very nice one-liners of encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, keep thinking and playing bigger. It's much more fun that way. Love, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
So it was this nice correspondence. But then I lost sight of some of my goals. And I kind of got into one of those stalling out places a little bit. And I was moving forward on some things. But I stopped emailing Jack.
Mm-hmm.
About 6 months went by, January of 2008. And I had the thought, I want to take some bold action. I want to get back in touch with Jack. I want to kind of stretch myself and try to go into another, you know, another dimension of my work and take my vision out there further. And so getting back in touch with Jack sounded like the answer.
Right.
So I emailed him, didn't hear from him, emailed him again and didn't hear from him. And I was celebrating my dad's 70th birthday with a group of my family all around, and I was sneaking into the next room to check my email.
You were just so anxious, right?
Totally. I was upset.
You were totally waiting for Jack, yeah.
And I was literally doing, you know, send, receive, send, receive, send, receive, thinking, I want an email from Jack. I want an email from Jack. And I literally had one of those lightning bolt moments of stop dead in my tracks. What am I doing?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, really, I mean, at that point, 16 years in the field of recovery, my own journey, all the things I've done, a master's in counseling, what am I doing? You know, and what am I doing waiting? And then the next thought was, what am I doing waiting for Jack? And literally in that moment, I had it was just like, boom, Waiting for Jack. I'm going to write a book called Waiting for Jack, all about why we wait and why we look outside ourselves for answers.
Mm.
And it just, the whole idea came to me in one flash.
Isn't that funny, though? Sometimes we continue on, we find ourselves in that rut, and the answer's within us all the time, but we have to go through that pain, that struggle, if you will, to get that one idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
You know, and it was just a complete turning point. And, you know, not that I hadn't had that thought before about where do the answers really lie and what, why do we wait and all of that, but it was just in that moment, not only was I committed for myself, but I looked at, I remembered back to Mile High Church and thinking of, and that was where he spoke in Denver, and thinking of all the people, how many people wouldn't want a $100 bill? I mean, even if you are altruistic and don't think you want it for yourself, you could give it to someone,
oh,
you know?
Sure,
but
yes.
Everybody in that audience would take a free $100 bill. Yet how many people actually got up and started moving?
Mm-hmm.
Not very many, you know, and I was up front, so I was up there first. And there maybe were a couple people who were starting to move, but it wasn't like the whole entire 800 people in the audience got up. So I was thinking about, why do we wait? Why are we stopped? Where do we get stuck? What is that?
Yeah. So as you were exploring that, did, you know, I guess your book, does it talk about certain principles that focus on that? Why do we wait?
It's a, you know, it really explores the whole concept. It looks at what I mean by waiting, and I distinguish it from being patient. You know, there is the being patient is a
virtue.
Wonderful thing.
Yeah,
but. Right. But it's really when we put our life on hold, mm-hmm. and all the ways we wait. I take the major areas of life, like relationships. So that chapter is called Jack of Hearts. So it's about how we wait for the perfect relationship, thinking someone will complete us, and all the stuff that goes along with that. And then Jack of All Trades, Master of None, is about our search for career and purpose. How we think that perfect career, once we find that, we'll be happy. So it's kind of this waiting and thinking the answer's out there, and once we get there, everything will be okay.
Yeah, I know that I personally did that. I started asking myself or you know, writing in my journal and praying and saying, Lord, what's my purpose? You know, at 25, went through a very traumatic situation when I was a teenager and a young adult. And so when you go through those things, you can't help but think, what am I here for? You know, I have a message to share. And, you know, 20 years later now, I know what that is. And it's to help people get unstuck. Like you said, stop waiting. It's just a different way to think about it. So that's amazing. And again, it's just exciting to meet meet like-minded people and build a friendship and an alliance, because I think together our energies are powerful.
Yes. And, you know, and you asked if there are specific things that I have people do, and it's what the book is really designed to do is be an inquiry, and I'm saying I don't have the answers,
mm-hmm.
so you need to find the answers for yourself,
mm-hmm.
but there are questions that I have in each area where you can kind of take a different look at your life and see where you might be waiting, and then I do have principles. At the very end of the book, kind of looking back at my journey, I realized there were some principles that kind of came to the surface that had me continue to move through all the places, because, you know, it's like we've been talking about, it's human to do all of this. It's human to wait. It's human to look outside ourselves. But it's just, how do we bring ourselves back? And how do we move through something with all that, you know, all the humanity and the doubts and the concerns? I mean, when I came up with this idea, it was a huge inspiration, a lightning bolt moment. But I had never considered myself to be a writer before.
Mm.
So I had to move through all of that. And I'm not someone who it just flowed through me, and just every time I sat down, it just, you know, the pen was moving.
Yeah.
It took something every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit walls, and I had breakthroughs, and then I had breakdowns. I had moments of true inspiration and knowing I was on the right path, and moments of wanting to give up. But I had a commitment that was bigger than any of that, that just had me continue to move forward, because I knew that I had really found something that was important to me and important enough to express, to that I was willing to move through. You know, there's that willingness again.
So what you're saying is that the ultimate commitment of getting this done and having this positive message help you weed through the bad times, the doubt, the fear, all that, the rejection, that I'm not good enough, all those negative thoughts that we bring on ourselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fantastic. And I think anytime we go through things in life like that, we have to have the end result has to be better than our pain. It has to be something we're looking forward to, because if we don't feel like we have that hope, then there is no hope. And I think that starts a spiral of depression and just again being stuck in the life that you're not happy with versus the joy that you can have.
Right. Yeah, and it's just I want to kind of underline too, because it's what I really see for myself and so many other people is it's being willing to move through all the spaces just because we have a goal. I mean, sometimes things just kind of open up and fall into place and all of that. But most of the time, even though there may be parts of it that fall into place and open up, there are still parts of it that are challenging and a struggle and require something and seem like places that might be easy to give up. And it's the willingness to continue through all those places to go for what we say we really want. And, and another piece, which I know is part of what you do too, is looking, I look with people at those places where we stop and first of all, allowing ourselves to really dream. And I hadn't really let myself dream. I had these goals, but I didn't have like big, huge vision dreams about what, I might be able to do with my life and taking my life to a whole nother level. And so allowing myself to do that and seeing all the things that stop me from doing that first, and then having something like this, having an inspiration and something I was moving towards, and then being willing to move through, like I said, all those spaces where we might stop. I don't know if that is clear, but it's just, I just always like to let people know it's not like, all of a sudden you're just going to sail into the sunset and it'll be
Oh,
perfect,
no. Yeah, I started writing my book, The Power to Say Yes, about 2 years ago. It was with an agent, and basically publishing has completely changed the past 2 years. And so since then, I've had two business books come out, actually on my third book, which is called The Unwritten Rules of Golf, more like etiquette on the golf course, because you can win or lose and it has nothing to do with your score. But those came out before the book that I thought was going to come out originally. So, if I were to be discouraged and not continue to want to move forward with that, which I think is my ultimate mission and passion,
Right.
then that would be me being stuck. So, and what are the benefits of the business books coming out first? Now I'm known as a business expert and somebody who has been successful in that area. So probably there are more people that would be interesting in knowing what I call the rest of the story.
Yes.
So we're never really we can't orchestrate how it's going to happen, but we can certainly visualize what we want in the end.
Right.
Yeah, and just to be open about the things and not let them set us back.
Yes.
Right. That's amazing. Well, one of the things that you mentioned is that you profess to or have said in the past you've been a self-help junkie. So
Yes.
tell us what that means, because I think I probably fall in that category as well.
Okay. Well, it's something I definitely discovered this whole process of writing this book. And for a while, I couldn't think of a subtitle for the book because the title was clearly Waiting for Jack. And I just, the more I thought about it, it was just, it's not, I'm not just saying I'm going to solve someone's problems. What am I really saying here? And what I realized is that I'm a self-help junkie. And my subtitle of my book is Confessions of a Self-Help Junkie: How to Stop Waiting and Start Living Your Life. So it's coming from, I just realized that what I've been, I might as well put a label on it, is what I realized. And a label not to keep me stuck, but to tell myself the truth. And I bring a lot of humor to that because I love the field of self-help. It's where I have been, it's been my home for 20 years.
Right.
And we can get stuck in that. And then not actually, we can use it as one more way we stay stopped. We can just keep doing courses and keep reading books and keep having coaches, but never actually move through something, move to the next level. So I just found that I still want the answer. I still think, well, maybe that workshop or maybe that book or maybe this coach and maybe I'll finally, and as we were talking about before we got on this, that I'm almost going to be 44, and I'd heard at one point once you get in your 40s, you pretty much settle into who you are.
Right, I
And I
have
don't know if that's true
to.
for everyone, but I was thinking yesterday about this of is it that I'm getting in my 40s and so I'm settling into who I am, or is it that I'm finally getting that the answers are within? And that's, when you introduced me, you said part of that, and you actually said the answers aren't within, or you said something different, which I think was like it was a typo, but it's that the answers really are within, and so many of us keep searching out there. And it's human to do that. It's okay that we do that. And then some of us, therefore, search in self-help, and thus the term self-help junkie.
Well, it's interesting because I think that whether it's The Secret or self-help books, like you said, we have to finally take that step and say, well, how can I do this and how can I apply this to my life? And again, be willing, it goes back to that, to take action. And to be able to see bigger, you mentioned that earlier, you know, stretching your mind and being able to think about what the possibilities are if you're open to it. And, you know, oftentimes when our world is one way, we just don't have any idea what's in store for us. But if we're open to it, I think that we can attract those people and those alliances that can help us reach our dreams.
Yes.
So that's amazing. Well, I'm curious, what has Jack Canfield said about this book?
Well, he wrote the foreword.
So what did he think about not getting back with you and all that?
Well, you know, it's just Jack is bombarded. He is making a difference to so many other people, so many millions of people really in the world, that he's, you know, the fact that he didn't, who knows where he was. He was traveling, you know, something like that. But it was just, if he had gotten back to me, mm-hmm. that's a really amazing thing too. If he had emailed me back, I would not be doing what I'm doing.
Right.
I wouldn't have had the inspiration for this book. So for whatever reason, at that moment, you know, he didn't get back to me. And then after I got into the writing of the book, then I thought, you know, I'm gonna contact him again. So I actually sent him an email and said, okay, listen, I had this inspiration. You're the catalyst. It's not about you. It plays on the word Jack. It plays on the name Jack, but it's not about you. But you're mentioned. I said, I'd love your involvement. And he actually emailed me back right away and said, congratulations, sounds wonderful. And sorry, I can't. I'm too busy right now working on my own book.
Right.
So that was the other thing, is I didn't take no for an answer. And a couple months later, it was June of 2008, and I went to Book Expo America with 37,000 other people. And because I had done the preparation and all the work I've done on myself and just putting myself out there, I kept bumping into people and ended up leaving Book Expo America with a top agent, Bill Gladstone, who's Eckhart Tolle's agent, is as my agent.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Jack Canfield agreeing to write the foreword, and a publisher.
That's amazing. So you basically went to the Book Expo yourself. You didn't go with another company. You just said, hey, I'm going out there and
yep.
I'm going to find those people to make this happen.
Went out by myself.
Yeah.
And I had no idea it was the way it was that big. I was thinking maybe 500 people. And as I was walking in with another couple who I just met on the street. And they said, did you know 37,000 people attended this thing last year? And I said, no. So it was like that. If I had known that before, I don't think I would have gone, because I wouldn't have felt ready.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just jumped and went.
So really it was the lack of knowledge of what was going on, no fear, was able to sink in, and you just went for it.
Right.
Well, so let me ask you, for those that do have an idea of a book, you know, that's very tenacious action, and I think it's amazing. But did you go with an actual manuscript, or did you have just your book proposal? I mean, what did you take to the expo?
Well, actually, what I took to the expo was just a one-sheet flyer. So at that point, I did have my full 60-something page nonfiction book proposal that I wrote and you know, worked really hard on and you know, did a very good job. But I didn't bring that with me. I was told just to bring a one-sheet flyer. So I worked with someone in helping me design that, and had just a chapter outline and a brief summary about the book and, you know, my bio. And that's what I had, my little purple folder with my stack of flyers for my book.
Wow.
And that's what I was able to show Jack. When I ran into Jack, I said, all right, Jack, here it is. This is, you know, and he recognized me. You know, he might not have been able to pick me out in a crowd, but when I reminded him, I said, remember Mile High Church in Denver, $100 bill, and emailing you? He said, yes. I said, all right, here's the book. Took him through all the chapters, and he started nodding his head. And he said, I like it. I said, all right, Jack, it just makes sense that you write something for this book. And he said, yes, it does.
Wow. Wow. See, you just didn't give up. And
no,
so
I didn't give up.
That's amazing. Well, did you ever feel, I know you said you had doubt here or there, but what was the biggest challenge that you faced in doing this?
Well, this is, you know, I love to talk about this. I could talk about this for another hour, and that's a lot of my speaking topics are about the book process. As far as one biggest challenge.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we only have time for one biggest.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's I mean, it's hard to pinpoint. It's self-doubt. I mean, it's just really, it all comes under that umbrella, self-doubt. And until we, it's again, I just want to underline that because that's the biggest challenge. We just don't believe in ourselves, and it could manifest in any various ways. Like, I can't write. I don't want to put myself out there. I'm afraid of what people will think. You know, like, whatever, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
But it comes under the category of self-doubt. And the thing is, if we let that stop us, then we never prove to ourselves that we can move through that. So I have not let that stop me countless times. So I've moved through it countless times. So whenever I come up against it again, I have to, all I need to do is just look back and say, oh, wait a minute, I've already moved through this countless times.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I can do
so you're
it again.
Yeah, you're building upon your success.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's the fear is dissipated and you know, yeah, so you have more gumption or just that passion to move forward. You're not stopped like most people are. Well, what do you think? Do you think that's a big piece of why people don't discover their passion? Do you think it's the self-doubt as well?
I really do. And I think that's such a big label and a big umbrella, like I said, that a lot of things can fit into that category. And you can look at, well, where did that come from? But it's, you know, it's fear. Fear is the bottom line. I mean, it's fear of whatever, being, putting ourselves out there, fear of failure, fear of success, fear of making a fool of ourselves, fear we can't do it, you know, fear that the world is a big, scary place. And, you know, a self-doubt kind of is along for the ride there.
Yeah, and I think rejection is a big piece of that. Maybe they won't like me. Yeah. Yeah, what if someone doesn't like me?
Right.
And that's a big thing. So, wow. Well, it's amazing. Well, we have a listener mailbag, and so some folks were excited about the topic today, and we actually have a question from Laura from Florida. And she says, "I have an idea about my book. What would you recommend to someone who's just getting started?"
Oh my gosh, I have so many recommendations for that too. And so what I've suggested to people is, depends on where you are in the just getting started. If you're really clear, you have an idea, and that's pretty well formulated, and if it's nonfiction, and I'm specifically talking about nonfiction because fiction's a whole nother world. But nonfiction, the first thing you need to do is write a nonfiction book proposal. And there's a book called How to Write a Book Proposal by Michael Larson.
Okay.
Michael Larson, How to Write a Book Proposal. And it's an excellent book that really lays out the steps, lays out what should go in each section, has a lot of information. And it can be overwhelming depending on where you are in your process.
Mm-hmm.
So just what I did, because I had 1 month, I gave myself a 1 month deadline to write my proposal, is I couldn't read that whole book in that time and get my proposal done. So I needed to just read the sections that were appropriate.
That you needed to, sure.
And write.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's nonfiction. You want to have the kind of the skeleton of what you're doing. You want to have some kind of framework, some kind of plan. And so that book really helps you plug it into the proposal. And so if you're a couple steps before that, though, and you have just ideas and you don't really know, what I suggest to people is have a notebook or a journal that you carry with you everywhere you go. And when you have an idea, write it in that journal. Write it down. Just get it out of your head and start to put as many ideas down as you can. So when you actually do sit down, you're going to have a lot of information already there. And there are all sorts of other things you can do, like dictation. You can set it up on your phone, so you can, if you're on your cell phone, you can call in and dictate something and have that transcribed, so you can capture ideas. So the point is just to keep the ideas. Once you start the flow and letting yourself flow, ideas will come. I mean, for me, it's still, I would have all these ideas, and then I'd sit in front of my computer, and my mind would go blank. But
when they come, you capture them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. And then, you know, there's so many other thoughts and ideas, but those are a few brief ones to start.
Well, that's great. I mean, for those who have just ideas or who are ready to go to the proposal process.
Right.
That's amazing. Well, you know, Kristen, all of our guests have been so gracious to offer a bonus for our listeners. We certainly value their time. We appreciate them investing in themselves to join us. And you are certainly offering something wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Well, yes. What I offer to people is a laser strategy session. So it's kind of a, you know, because I specialize in so many areas, it's an opportunity. If you want to talk to me about the book world, then I can offer coaching and more suggestions and go into a little more depth and help someone see where they are and what the next step should be, or encouragement and all of that. So I can and point people in directions and kind of plug them in. So I have that, the strategy session can be used for that. If it's just someone coming up against life purpose, what am I here for? What am I doing? What's my passion? What do I want to break through? Why do I keep getting stopped? Then we can work on that piece. So it can really be used in any way. So it's a 20-minute laser strategy session to look at your plan and your structures and your passion and your purpose.
To help you stop waiting, right?
Yes.
Well, how can we reach you? And I always ask my listeners to be sure to indicate in the subject line purpose without limits.
Yes.
So you know that they do come from our show, because I think that's very important.
Yes.
So tell us how we can reach you.
Okay. Well, at any time, you can visit my website, which is www.waitingforjack.com.
Okay.
So again, waitingforjack.com, all spelled out.
Okay.
And then my email is waitingforjack@gmail.com.
Okay. So waitingforjack@gmail.com.
Yes.
All right. Well, Kristen, I just cannot thank you enough. Again, I know you have so much more to share, and I hope you'll come back with us again when we have a little more time.
Well, I would love that. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
All right. Well, thank you again. Well, friends, it's that time again, time to close the show, because we don't have much time on this program because we are interested in your time, just giving you that little hint to help you move forward. So remember, no sense in waiting on Jack or waiting on anyone else to pursue the life that you desire and the passion that you want. Make sure to join us next week when we'll be talking with Tara Meyer Robson. She can talk with us about how to unlock those subconscious beliefs that are holding us back. So you'll want to make sure to join us and also register for the free gift, because it is amazing healing yourself today with 30 minutes of meditation. So again, join us next week. Tell your friends about us. We want to be sure we're here for you every week, and we need your help to do that. Thanks again so much, and we look forward to next week when we'll come back again sharing great, great insight to help you be your best self.
You've been listening to Purpose Without Limits with your host, Dallas Teague Snyder. Dallas is founder of Make Your Best Impression, author of the book Professionally Polished, Business Etiquette Savvy for Today's Competitive Market, and co-author of Executive Etiquette Power. Visit MakeYourBestImpression.com for more information.